on their shoulders, and they grab the seed and they throw. Or in the words that is used in the Greek word means they broadcast, right? And that's the way we got our word broadcast too. They throw the seeds that, you know, it will be scattered almost everywhere. Very simple parable. You'll see the seed, you know, which in verse 11 is the word of God, because Jesus interprets the parable for the disciples. So the seed is the word of God. We all of us know. And that is the good news of the gospel. Right? The good news that Jesus is here with us. He comes along with us. And the news that we hear that he is the one, the only one who can actually save us. Secondly, we heard last month, right, from a preacher about the soil. There are four types of soil that we see. And how people respond to the word of God. Right? And that is, you know, what it symbolizes. It speaks about the soil is how people respond. Some people respond differently, and some will also respond in a way, you know, that will favor God and bring blessings upon their life. And so we see the responses of the soil. But today I want to spend some time looking at the sower. Right? Very interesting, right, about the sower. If you look at the word very carefully, you know, in verse 5, it says, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, and that's all. You don't hear much about him. Many times we hear about the seed, which is important. The good news of the gospel, the word of God, the transforming word of God, which is needed for us. And we hear about soil, the different kinds of soil. Right, the hard soil, the rocky soil, you know, the ruined soil, and finally, you know, the rich soil that brings forth multiple crops. But today we want to look at the sower. The Greek word is a very definite word, which is here. We know the sower is Jesus Christ. He is the sower. He's sowing seeds. But at the same time, when you look at the word very carefully, you know, yes, Jesus is our sower. At the same note, I think Jesus has also called us to be sowers. Not only we are called believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only we are called the sons and daughters of Jesus Christ or the child of God, we are not only the heirs of his kingdom, but we are also sowers of the word. Because if you look at Matthew chapter 28, you know, God has commanded, the last commission of the Lord Jesus Christ was, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel. In other words, go into all the world and sow the seeds of good news of the gospel. I think that's what, you know, Jesus has called us to do. Charles Spurgeon, great preacher, he sees and he says, you know, Jesus is the chief sower. At the same note, he also says that you and I who call ourselves believers, you and I who call ourselves Christians, who embrace this faith, are sowers and sowers of the seed that is given to us. You know, as I was reading this particular parable, I was observing three things. By the way, I like farming. My wife also likes farming. I'm not so good in farming. Right? Maybe I have a bit of a green thumb with me. Right? I hope it will be dark green, so it will produce more. Three observations that I see from this sower. And I think it's important for us because each and every one of us are receiving God's word. Right? We receive God's word. And so what does a sower do? The first thing he doesn't do, he doesn't store up his seed. Look at the word very carefully. Right? A farmer or a sower went out to sow his seed. It's a possessive noun in the Greek text. It means it is his seed. It is given to him. It is under his ownership. It is a control. In other words, you know, God has given us the seed of the good news. Each and every one of us have accepted Jesus Christ. And I believe I'm speaking to believers here, my friend. That we have the seed of God given to us. It has become ours. And that's the way it is in the Greek text. It's a possessive noun, pronoun, right? It is indicate ownership. So what does he do, right? He sow his seed. In other words, he does not store up his seed, my friend. He does not stockpile his seed. As I told you, I like farming together with my wife. You know, I'm new to this. Coming to Canada, you know, that's how I picked up. So I go to the, you know, a local Lowe's store, and I've made some good friends over there in the gardening side. And this man is an expert in all these things. So in my talk to him, I was asking him about seeds. And he told me something, you know, and I Googled and I found out it's true. He said, when you buy seeds, make sure it's fresh. Fresh seeds. I made a mistake because, you know, many times, you know, when the season is over, they put 50% off, 75% off. That's the time I buy and I use it for the following year. I said, you know, I used the previous year. He said, don't. He said, he told me something and it was true. He said, the old seeds, unfortunately, even though it is stored well, right, you store it in a well, it is supposed to be stored, but you know, the germination rate is not that good. The longer it is not like tea, right? Tea tastes much more better if you keep longer, but it's totally different, he said. Right? The longer you keep, it will not germinate well. And so he said, buy something which is fresh, right? And then you sow the seed, it will produce much. So when I heard from him, you know, and I was remembering, you know, him when I was preparing this sermon, I thought, you know, what a powerful reminder. God has given us that seed. We have heard God's word. You know, when we read God's word, the word of God inspires us. We feel motivated. We feel energized. When in our devotions, we hear podcasts. When you hear certain Christian music, we feel alive. We feel, you know, re-energized, rekindled again in our faith. But what do? Do we stockpile and say, you know, it's fine, it's good, but, you know, just be silent for a moment? What are we doing with the seed, the joy that God has given to us? If you look at the farmer, he doesn't stockpile. He doesn't store up his seed for a better season. If you realize, when we became Christians in the faith, there's a lot of excitement, right? We want to preach the entire, we want to convert the entire community because that's how we feel. But years goes by, what happens? Unfortunately, you know, we should be much more expert in sowing the seed which God has given to us. Fortunately, what happens, I think, you know, we quieten down in terms of sowing our seed. And so, in this particular parable, he doesn't stockpile. And I just wanted to show you two verses, you know, what should we do, right? Two verses, it says, right, in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about, he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. So whatever we sow, my friend, whatever we do, whatever we, you know, do with God's word, how we do with God's word, you know, the returns will come accordingly. I like this particular passage in Psalm 126, verse 6. It says, those who go up weeping, right, carry seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sleeves with them. In other words, it's actually the background of this particular psalm. It's a very interesting background. It's about a poor farmer who did not have a good harvest last year. And so he has a small quantity of seeds. And so he looks at the seeds and says, you know, this is what I have. Nothing more. Right? If this doesn't produce, I can't feed my family. It's going to be a struggle. Because last year was not a good year. And so what he does, he takes his seeds, he goes out weeping, Lord, this is what I have, Lord. I do not know how much I will get at the end of the day. So he goes out weeping, he carries seeds to sow, but then what happens? The returns are much more greater. He comes back with songs of joy. So my friend, you might say, you know, I have little. But even little joy that we have, when we share that joy, sometimes, you know, we will be searching for testimonies to share. It might be a small thing, but it means a lot in the hearts of another person, my friend. We were, you know, whenever we ask for testimonies or something to share, we want some great transforming things that has happened in our lives. And we say, tell ourselves, you know, that is worth sharing. No. Even a small thing that God has done to you becomes something very important lesson, a significant thing for a brother or sister in the Lord. And so, you know, that's how the sower, right? So today we need to ask ourselves, what am I doing with the blessings that God has given to me? What am I doing with, you know, the devotions that, you know, God has been speaking to me about? The encouragement that he has been giving me through the word. How am I handling all these things? And am I just piling the seeds or storing up the thing and saying, you know, I'll do it, I'll share it tomorrow? Unfortunately, you know, the season might not come again. Secondly, you know, when I looked at the word, you know, don't judge the soil so widely. Let me tell you, you know, when I looked at this particular passage, I was asking myself, will I employ this sower? Because he's wasting the seed. Realize? What does he do? You know, when I sow, when I do seeding, I'm very careful because I don't want to waste my seeds. And I know because it's costly. And so I will try to sow in a way that, you know, the corners I'll just walk and do it, you know, so that nothing goes onto the pavement. Most of the time, you know, after sowing seeding, I take my broom and I make sure that even though it's not there, I'll make sure that it's not caught up in the pavement, it goes to the ground. But look at the seed very carefully here, right? What does he do? He doesn't judge the soil. He knows, you know, it is going to be a different ground here, because as he's stepping, he realizes, you know, it looks like the soil is not so good. But the passage doesn't say that he's picking certain places. He doesn't judge the soil. He sows. Right? He walks and he sows, my friend, the seed. And he sows widely. He doesn't pick and choose. I know many of you are from the business world, right? And we always say, you know, you need to, when you want to market your product, you target your audience. If you want your returns well, you target your audience. Because if not, you can't get your returns. You don't see the profit. I remember serving one church, and we were doing some ministries. One of my leaders came and said, you know, Pastor, we are wasting money. I said, why? Because, you know, he said, you know, we don't see returns. By the way, he was in the financial world. I don't blame him, because he has been soaked with that kind of thinking. We always have some kind of returns. It's no harm expecting some kind of returns, my friend. But the returns come in God's time, not in my time. And so he does. He doesn't judge the soil. Let it be, right? Rocky soil, or roadside, or ruined soil, or among the thorns. He doesn't know whether it's a rich soil, or a thorny soil, or a rough soil, or a hard ground. He just sows the seed, my friend. He just sows the seed. I think the principle is this. It is not my job to evaluate, but my job is to scatter. We realize sometimes, unintentionally, right? Sometimes we tell ourselves, "Is it worth sharing the gospel to this friend of mine? Probably it is not going to work in his life or her life." Unfortunately, we know, right? I don't think it is going to make any difference if I share this to this person. What has happened? We have already started evaluating. Maybe such people or such communities might not listen. He does not judge the soil. He sows widely, my friend. I think he wants to make sure that every part of the land gets the seed. Look at the word of Jesus Christ very carefully in Matthew chapter 28. I think all of us know, right? He says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." All, every, not pick and choose. Not like the marketing strategy that we do. I think, this is what God is trying to do, Just so, whatever God gives us an opportunity, share it, my friend. It might be a person of a different faith altogether. It might be a person who doesn't believe in God. My responsibility, your responsibility is to sow the seed. It's not to evaluate whether it will grow or not, whether it's a good soil or a rocky soil. My responsibility is to share the good news that God has done in my life, the things that God has worked in my life. Today we don't talk about faith. We don't talk about religion. Religion is not in our discussion. But I think if we even share, what God has done in my life, my friend, let me tell you, it can start working. It can start working in the lives of people. It's not wrong to target certain people. Right? Sometimes in our mission group trips, we go targeting certain mission areas. It's not wrong. But my fear, can become a norm, my friend. In other words, we become blind to others. It's not wrong, but don't make it a norm. We can become insensitive to the needs of others who doesn't look like us. And so it's important for us to sow widely, right? And as I said, all of us are sowing seeds. The way we talk to people, we're also sowing seeds. It's not preaching the gospel alone, right? The counseling that we give, the advice that we give, the things that we, we share with our friends. Let me tell you, they're not only listening, you're also sowing seeds, my friend. They might start thinking, not only about you, but who you are and what's your faith all about. So it's not just sharing the good news of the gospel, the kind of advice we give, the words that we say. It is sowing too. Lastly, let me finish with this. Right? The last one, seek impact, not attention. I was looking at the passage very carefully. I was just digging into the passage. I realized only in verse 5 you see the sower is directly mentioned, and then indirectly, right? In verse 5 says a farmer, that's all, went out to sow his seed as he was scattering, period. You don't see him at all, right? The farmer went out, he doesn't say much about the good soil produced, and so because the credit goes to him. He doesn't say it like that. A farmer just went out to sow his seed. So the passage is teaching us something. You seek impact, my friend, not attention. When I look at the word, firstly, you don't see much about him, right? He's not seeking attention, even though he is important, but he is doing whatever he is called to do. When I was in seminary, right, when they teach us certain things, certain important things, and my homiletics teacher, right, I remember He's a Baptist guy. He taught me very well. He told me something which I still remember. He said, be careful when the messenger becomes more important than the message. When you deal with God's word, be careful, because the messenger can become more than the message. It should be the other way around. It's the message. It's not the messenger. It doesn't mean I shouldn't be working hard, but he said, you know, you should have that motive, that principle in yourself. Be careful, because the messenger can become more important than the message. So he was not seeking intention, like John the Baptist. You know, when John the Baptist was doing a great job, people were just flooding right to the River Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist. You know, people were mistaken and said, are you the Messiah? Are you the Messiah we were waiting for? And what did John the Baptist say? I'm not even worthy to untie the sandals of this man. And he said, right, I must decrease, but Christ should increase. He should increase. So my friend, I think it's important for us, right? I think the lesson that we learn, he's not seeking attention. But then, if you look at the passage very carefully, you know, if you ask, you know, yourself, you know, why is he sowing seeds? Because he knows the impact of the seed, my friend. He knows the power of the seed. He knows that this seed can germinate and produce a strong harvest. He could have said, you know, I do not, you know, let me be do it differently. But he does, because he knows the power of the seed. It can grow even in a rocky soil, a thorny soil. It also depends whether the soil wants to cooperate for the growth of the seed, my friend. He knows that the seed is able to produce, provided the soil works along the seed. Seek impact, not attention. And that's why I think, you know, probably in today's world, this man will not be hired, because he's wasting, right? Seeds, which are much more expensive now because of the inflation that we live in. Let me tell you, the gospel message is a simple message. The good news of the gospel is a very simple message, but it impacts life. It impacts life. You will read a lot of things in the scriptures. I don't want to go about it. It impacts life, my friend. Today, I stand here preaching God's word, because that gospel message have impacted me when I was young. When I was young, you know, I gave myself to the Lord. I lost my mother when I was 8 years old, so I was just craving for mother's love. I didn't know where to go, right? I went to places, to communities which were not good. Can you imagine? I think the message of the gospel, simple, but let me tell you, it's profound. And I think that's what, you know, it changes life. And not only that, it changes culture. It changes culture, my friend. Can you imagine, you know, how the early Christians were taught? Probably, you know, they saw it in a very negative sense in Acts chapter 17, verse 6. You know, these people, they were very unhappy with this faith called Jesus' faith. And so they said that these men have caused trouble all over the world has come. They saw it in a very negative sense. But let me tell you, can you imagine our friends coming and telling, you know, this, if I have a conversation with so and so, you know, that person is going to share about the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to cause trouble, right? We always want to be in the good books of people. We want to be good. But the early Christians were seen as troublemakers in a good word, my friend. They wanted to preach the gospel. They don't want to stockpile their seeds or store up their seeds. They wanted to spread. Even though there was much persecution, they know it will not be received well. It will cause trouble. It will cause division in the society. But I want to preach the gospel. I don't want to stockpile and wait for a time to come, a conducive time for me to preach. No. Whatever I've received, I want to give to God. It might be little, but I want to share the little that God has given to me. If God has done much more greater things or taught me much more, I want to do much more greater things for Him. That was the motive of the Christians, my friend. I think it transformed society. And today we are here, Christians, because of the trouble they caused in a very positive way, my friend. Let me finish with this story. I hope, you know, it will be beneficial. Many of you would have read this great person. When I say great, you know, he was great in these battles. Napoleon. Napoleon was a great person in terms of battle. But there was a terrible time, you know, in his life. It was a terrible battle. For a moment, you know, Napoleon was thinking, can I go forward and win this battle? Because it was difficult and challenging for Napoleon, this great French general. He thought, you know, the wisest thing for me is to retreat, to go back. So in those days, unlike today, you know, we send messages, you know, but in those days, you know, you ask the drummer to play a particular beat. You know, when they play a particular beat, then you march. You play a particular beat, you know, it's time for rest. That's the way people did. So Napoleon felt, you know, I think it's the wisest thing for me is to retreat. So he called this man and he said, you know, beat the drum for retreat. We are going back. The young man stood silent. Napoleon called him again and said, I want you to play the drum, the retreat sound, so that we can go back. He kept quiet. You know, Napoleon was a very angry person too. He drew his sword. He placed it at his throat. And he said, you know, I want you to beat the drum or sound the drum for retreat. We are going back. You know what the young man said? He said these words, but sir, you never taught me to sound retreat before. You have never taught me to play that particular sound before. I do not know how to play that particular sound. Hearing that word from this man, you know what Napoleon said? Play the sound of drum, the charge. In other words, we'll go forward. We will not go backward. You know? And he played the go forward sound, and they went and they won the war, my friend. I think that should be the way, right? Because at times, you know, we think, you know, should I share? Should I share? Will that change the person's life? Will it impact someone? That's not our duty to evaluate, my friend. Yes, it's a good time to know when it's a time to share. But I think, as Napoleon knew the power of the sound, I think the power of the seed is much more greater. Today, I think God wants us not to stockpile. So what are we doing with the good news that we have, my friend? What are we doing with the many blessings that God has given to us? You know, what are we doing with the many sermons that we hear? What are we doing with the many devotions that God has been inspiring us, speaking to us, or the many blessings that God has given to us? Are we just saying, Lord, I'm just keep it for a while? Or are we scattering the seed widely, without judging the soil? And I think that's what God wants us to do. And lastly, I think the man knows the seed can make an impact. And likewise, my friend, when we do, God's word will make an impact.